Isn't that very simple?
10 million
years ago, God knows.
God didn't know.
Wait a minute, guys. If God is omniscient, which is where this question started, if God knows Reggie does not pick up the quarter, then Reggie will not pick up the quarter. But what's the reason? Reggie's freedom. Reggie decided not to pick up the quarter. So that, yeah, that's been locked into all time. Reggie can't go down the street today and pick up
but
a quarter.
The problem with that, though, okay, hold, but I'm not even created yet to...
That's right. But he's omniscient, right, guys?
But I'm not even physically existing yet, but yet you're saying he knew
he
that in the future
you.
He'd
that's
give
the
me
Bible,
that
yeah,
he'd
that.
He'd give me free will
I
to
so.
That doesn't even make any sense. This kind of sounds like it sounds like the Adam and Eve story. You know, it's
why
like
why doesn't it make sense?
It's the same kind of thing. Like I'm gonna create two creatures knowing full well that they're going to partake of this fruit because I'm gonna let the serpent in there.
Yep,
and then I'm going to have to punish them for the rest of eternity because they're going to do exactly
freedom.
What because they are going to do exactly what I knew they do because it's also part of my divine plan, which would mean as part of his plan is to punish humans in some way.
But part of his plan is to give us our free will. If you go back to the quarter example, Reggie, you said on this view, let's do it again, God would know you 10 million years before you were born, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'd know your mom, he'd know your dad 10 million years
yep,
before you were born.
It's all planned out. Yep.
That's right. Right. It couldn't be otherwise, could it?
No, it's just like
if
the,
he
like,
knows
it, it's like the grooves on a record, baby.
Okay, so if he knows it, it's set in cement, correct? If he knows something, it is set in cement, i.e. it will happen.
Right, it's all part of the divine...
Okay, so
disc.
He knows all things. So when he mm-hmm. knows when Reggie walks down the street today, Thursday,
yes. mm-hmm.
he will not pick up that quarter. He knows you won't.
Exactly, already.
That,
but yeah, the problem is that God would then punish me.
That's a different issue. We're talking about that's the punishment thing. But on the original question about
sure,
the quarter and omniscience, God can lock into all time your free choice. And that's what I believe happens.
Well,
God locks your choice into time.
Yeah. Well, let's see what this call has. Maybe the call has a different perspective on things. Hello?
Okay.
Hello, you on
hello,
air?
Hello, this is Matt. Joe LaFunky from your forums.
Hey, Matt.
And one thing I was wondering is how can we have free will when, you know, there's hell there? If you think about it, hell is, you know, worse than having a gun pointed to your head and being threatened with being killed.
That doesn't work.
Both be worse than
you
that.
Still have a choice. It may be a bad choice, but you still have a choice. It may
and I don't, Matt, if I'm not one of those Christians that thinks hell is God putting you on a spit and roasting you over a fire for eternity. So we'd have, that'd be another show. But I agree with you. It's a really tough issue. But I don't take some of the views that, just like you'd have a Calvinist sitting next to me who's going to say, hey, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and I said I do to Jesus. But I disagree with Gary about picking up quarters.
Right.
Just like when you, just because Christians could be on the other side, you know, get a Christian who believes hell is burning forever, one inch at a time, but that's not my view.
Well, how does God know that we're going to do that thing in the future? Is it because he understands how everything is going to work out?
But remember the last caller the last caller started out his question and said, let's just say God is omniscient. Then how can he ... Well, that's the key. If you start out with a God who is omniscient, yes, God knows what you will choose. Now, if you go to the restaurant tonight and you have choices between liver and steak, you are truly free. But he knew 10 million years before you were born if you would order liver or steak tonight. So you can't do otherwise, but it's your choice.
That still doesn't make any sense.
It's a fault. You like a program that you understood completely, and you know that when you input A, it's going to output B. I mean, that's all we are to them if you take that point of view.
Well, it's not
really
all we are to them.
I mean, the program can do whatever it wants.
I know, but it's exactly the opposite. You're not a computer. You're a living, thinking being. He just is big enough, great enough, omniscient enough. He knows what your options are, and he knows what you're going to choose. He treats you like a human being. There's no way he treats you like
okay,
a computer.
Okay, now, even if what you said made sense, Gary, even if what you said made sense, how do you justify, though, God's demeanor when man makes certain decisions of which he already knew they'd make before he even made them? I mean, he knew that this is exactly how things are planned. So how do you explain that? God getting angry, jealous, sad, regretting.
Well, those are anthropomorphisms in Scripture, right? You're giving God human characteristics.
Well, I'm not giving him anything. The Bible says that.
Okay, right.
Okay, all right.
What I mean is those writers are talking about, they're talking about God, for example, when it says he covers us with his wings and so on and so on. Those are anthropomorphic type.
I've always thought those were just sun rays, but okay.
Okay.
It sounds like sun rays, but okay, sure.
Sun rays, okay. Well, I like eagle's wings better myself.
Well, that's exactly what the Egyptians did, by the way. They put wings on the sun.
Oh,
anyway,
I thought you meant, you meant the literal sun out there, okay.
Yeah, I did, actually.
You did?
Yes.
No, I mean not the Egyptian sun god, I don't mean that.
Same thing. But go ahead.
With which question?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you now. But
wait,
I think
go ahead with which question? You said go ahead.
Oh, but you explaining exactly a God's demeanor and emotions, even when knowing all these things.
Well, traditional theology, yes. God doesn't act out of emotions. But God, I go back to my original point. God does know. He knows if you'll pick up the quarter. He knows what you'll order for dinner. And he knows if you will say, he knows whether or not you will say I do to Jesus. Yes, he knows all those choices.
So be good for goodness sake. I'm sorry, I just couldn't help throw that in there.
It's not that bad. That's not that bad. Because it's set in cement. It will happen if God knows it. But that's not the reason. Mm-hmm. Everybody stops there and says, so we're all determined. No, the question is, why is it set in cement? I think it's set in cement because that's a choice he knew we would make from all eternity.
Wow, that's a switch.
Well, actually, in contemporary...
It's a choice he knew we'd make already. But this is the kicker, though, Gary. But if he knew, but if God would have such a problem, though, with humanity doing certain things that offend him, why make us in the damn first place?
Because, I know you're human and we're not God. I realize that. But just to try to understand just a little bit of it.
Sure.
Why do we have children when we know children can turn out to be a blasted mess?
Because we are some selfish, ignorant fools driven by our biology. I'm telling you, I sometimes think about that all the time. It's like, man, we are
really
so selfish. What are we doing?
Okay, we're guys. Let's say it's the women.
Sure.
There are some pure-minded women out there who want to raise children because they want to raise them the right way. They want to enjoy them. They want to see them grow up. They want to see their face after they make them scrub it.
Yes.
There are people who have their heads screwed on right who are raising children because they just want to see what a bright kid that minds and... And I think God wants us to be bright kids who mind and who are smart.
You can't say what he wants us to do, can you?
What?
Does it even make sense to say God wants us to do something? Does it even make sense?
God has a will.
He wants us to do something, but why would he have a want if he already knows what's going to happen?
But see, that's like back to the quarter. You are free to pick it up or not to pick it up.
So what the hell is this? So what is this, some kind of masochism? God is like punishing himself?
No, it's no more masochistic than the woman who raises a child who wants that child to be perfect, and the child turns out to be less than perfect. Now,
it's not going to be right because the parent obviously isn't omniscient. Right.
Yeah, no analogy to God is going to work. That's correct.
Right.
But what I'm saying is mothers can have pure motives or seemingly pure motives or close to pure motives. God can have pure motives. In fact, over and over again in the Bible, that metaphor is used. Even as a mother does this, so I do this for you. That sort of thing. Over and over again.
Okay.
That's the metaphor.
All right. Agree to disagree.
That's okay.
And it looks like we're going to go to 10:08 anyway. So, oh well.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go any further. I've got some folks that just arrived from out of state. So.
Okay. Well, we'll end with this last call. And if it's just a comment, we'll leave it at that. But if it's more than that, because this person's been holding forever.
All right.
Hello. You're on the air. Oh, let me turn you up.
By the way, the analogy doesn't work because parents don't have omniscience or the ability to go ahead and punish their kids forever God does.
We said
so
that already.
It's kind of a lame analogy, but that wasn't why I called. Follow up on the cross on the moon question. You're saying that God just wants to give us a little bit of evidence, but a cross on the moon, which would save so many people and remove doubt. So God doesn't really want none to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's not true.
Gary. First of all, just take that as a metaphor. Okay, and work with that.
I heard you mumbling a lot there.
Yes, I did. Essentially, he's arguing God surely can provide irrefutable, sufficient evidence for his existence. If he chooses not to do that, the only logical conclusion is that either one, he wants non-believers to exist, or two, there is no Christian God. How do you respond?
Yeah, we gave one response earlier. I don't think God wants to twist our arms, so he doesn't want people who believe because he makes them to.
Well, no. Why is having knowledge of God in some kind of way a forced thing? I mean, God still wants us to worship him, right?
True.
So I can know he exists and not worship him and still have the free will to say, up yours, God. I don't believe. I think you're vicious and horrible.
If God raises Jesus on a movie screen with everybody in the world watching,
mm-hmm.
First of all, let's just say the evidence is whatever you, Reggie, need, or this caller. Whatever someone needs to believe, God gave it to you. God gave you every lick of evidence you could possibly, so much so that only stupid people would not believe at this point. It's like really, really good. Well, then God has twisted your arm.
Right. Like hell, as I mentioned in the chat room. Yeah, like hell.
That's not true.
That's twisting.
Okay, and secondly, I would say God doesn't twist arms. The other thing I would say is, and I think, Reggie, you were getting at this with the cross on the moon. I think there's almost always, it's very difficult for me to imagine a shut and closed case. You know how both of us were talking about there's no such thing as proof. There's no such thing as apodictic certainty. You could see, because an earlier caller said, how about a cross on the moon? And you said, no, because you got some idiots out there saying it's going to be aliens.
Yeah, or lasers or something else. Right.
Right.
But not
so
to mean, and
I'm
God
sure
would
God,
know that it's not sufficient.
I'm not sure. I wonder if there can be a case out there that everyone's going to say, you got me, that's it. I think people are going to be able to think crazy things to get out of it.
Not if it's God. God is smart enough to know what evidence is sufficient for each individual.
That's correct. But now, if he's going to give every person exactly the evidence they want,
why not? I
think this is the category of twisting
okay.
arms.
Okay, well, here's one for you. But there are many people who believe in God precisely because they believe they have sufficient evidence. So what about those?
That's correct. Well, they do. I believe in God because I think I have sufficient evidence.
So they were twisted,
No, because I studied, I dug, I went after it.
Most Christians don't.
Pardon me?
And most believers don't.
Okay, but I'm when I was going through my years of doubt, Reggie, I was selfish enough. If you were my buddy in those days, I mean, I played football and hockey all day long and studied when I got home. I was no nerd. I've grown up in sports. I have 9 pinched nerves in my back to prove it. But
ow.
So I'd play sports during the day and come home at night and we'd chat. But I was selfish enough that I would say, hey, my buddy Reggie here, we played football this afternoon, but frankly, I don't care where Reggie is on this one. I got questions, and I want to answer my questions. So I was selfish enough to say, I'm answering this for yours truly. I mean, I wasn't a personal quest. And if you're going to ride along,
Reg,
you know, I'm happy if you want to hear my answers. You know, you're my football player buddy, mm-hmm. and I'm happy. But I didn't do this for you. I did it for me. I mean, if that's selfish, I was answering my own questions.
Little bit of a faith healer, if you don't mind me saying. If it's not sufficient evidence for you, then it's your fault you weren't saved or healed.
Oh, like The Secret, yeah.
Blaming the victim. You didn't get the revelation because you read the Book of Mormon. You didn't get the burning in your bosom because it's your fault.
If that's addressed to me, I'm not hearing the question, Reggie.
Right.
I didn't hear the question.
Well,
in other words, you're making that there's something wrong with the person, kind of like a faith healer would. In other words, there's something sinful or there's something inadequate or something about you because you don't have accepted this evidence that is supposedly sufficient. And Reggie just stressed it perfectly. I thought God has the power to make enough evidence for everybody sufficient, and they still have the free will that you've been arguing for.
They do. So I think they would still have the free will. But
and Gary, not to mention, many Christians always say, "Well, look around you; it's so evident." So,
yeah, but we haven't said much about cosmology or intelligent design, but they might have those kind of things in book. They might have things in mind like look at the stars, look at the trees.
But it's still a level of evidence. So why wouldn't God provide sufficient? He wants to play this guessing game and risk some of us going to hell. I thought he loves us. Come on.
But he's not playing a guessing game, but I do think he wants to give you a free choice. I really do. Let's put it this way. if you believe the Bible straight up, or just look at the Bible straight up,
yes.
It says God created us in his image.
Whatever that is, by the way.
Whatever that means. And that's complicated. You're right. But God, I think God is free,
mm-hmm.
and I think God creates us free. So I don't think God's going to twist arms. That's just my view. I think it's borne out from...
Can you define twisting arms as anything beyond the level of evidence you've accepted?
Twisting arms could come in a lot of forms, but if God said...
That's a good point the caller just made. It doesn't sound like you're saying, if you need any extra evidence, got to be twisting your arm, but all the other evidence is okay.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't know if this answers your question or not. C.S. Lewis has a comment. Norm Geisler, a philosopher, has a similar comment. It's something like this. If all you needed was one more argument, one more evidence to keep you out of hell, God would have given it to you. I can just tell you, I meet a lot of people who, no matter their, I think this is true of all of us. I really do. Our worldviews, we judge facts by our worldviews. We all do it. It's a human phenomenon. We all look at data by where I'm coming from. I think that's true. And there are, to all of us to some extent, we're going to see a whole lot of data for something. Reggie mentioned aliens earlier. We could be seeing all kinds of data. And if my worldview says those things don't happen, I'm going to say no, 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 no matter what.
Well, I don't know. It depends. I just want to see it and see the alternate explanations for me. I try my best not to just discount something on the outset. That's why earlier I said, I would love to see something.
I told you, Reggie, I think you're open. I think if you were watching football with me Sunday afternoon, we'd have a good time.
I hate football. I'd rather watch women's volleyball, but that's a different topic.
That is a different topic. No, what I'm saying is, I have a lot of atheist and non-Christian friends.
Uh-oh.
I do. And if they want to come over and watch a game, they want to go out in a boat and go fishing. I got an atheist buddy who likes to come over and go fishing. That's totally fine. We don't have to talk religion.
I'm going to let you go here, Gary. But also, and do you think God picks a favorite? Does God have a favorite football team?
Well, let's say it this way. I used to coach ice hockey for 9 years. I was a university head ice hockey coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Christian school, and sometimes my guys would pray in the locker room. Not everybody on my team was a Christian. My last year I had a Buddhist on the team. But sometimes the guys would pray in the locker room, and they'd say, God, give us this victory. And every time they prayed that, I would sit there, and I would just kind of shake my head, and I'd say, I don't think God cares who wins the hockey game. And I know I don't think God cares who wins the Super Bowl.
Right on.
In fact, I was on a talk show once, and that was the question, and I said no.
Right.
Reggie had a good time with you. You're a good host.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And this went very well. I think it did.
Want to work something out sometime? I'm very pleased. We went off on some important issues.
But the listeners wanted some of that, so we gave it to them. So
I appreciate
and I thank
you're
for that.
You're a good guy.
All right, thank you. Have a good night. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, caller, you're still on the line. Go ahead. We have like 9 minutes, so go ahead. What's up? Hello?
Oh, hey. I just wanted to get a quick plug for Atheists, Agnostics, Skeptics, and Humanists on MySpace. Come check out the blogs. We even have several that deal with this very issue.
All right, and that'll cost you $15. I'll be expecting that in my PayPal account within the next 5 minutes. All right, thanks.
Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover Card.
All of it. All right, thank you. All right, he brought up some pretty good points there. But again, it shows that we can argue all day long about the historicity and what people say, what people think, what's more probable, what is this, what is that. But what do we really have before us? And that was what a lot of individuals in the chat room were saying. I mean, what exactly do we have before us to work with, though? And as I mentioned before, even if all the data doesn't account for everything, that doesn't mean that we necessarily, though, need to say, the supernatural, though, explains it. Not really, because you have when you utilize the supernatural to explain something, at that point you have to also ask the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And in the realm of the supernatural, a lot of that's missing. There's no explanatory power ever in the realm of the supernatural. In fact, in the realm of the supernatural, anything is a go. So therefore, if anything is a go in that particular void, then how is there any rational foundation to getting to those conclusions in the first place? It makes more sense that a naturalistic explanation is best when trying to discover things that we don't know yet. Supernatural and holistic explanations never explain anything, and they never really have. Never. Anyway, thank you all for listening and watching. I really appreciate it. Some people liked the show. Some people hated it. I thought it was okay, but it depends on what you're looking for. I think the last 45 minutes of the program, things picked up a little bit. And that is because I got a little more aggressive and I took calls, and you guys got pretty aggressive too. I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, my scholarly friends didn't get a chance to call in tonight. I contacted Richard Carrier, Bob Price, Jeff Lauder, Eddie Tabash. I contacted a lot of guys. Unfortunately, they couldn't make it tonight, I guess. But, or maybe they are in here. I don't know. But, oh well. I appreciate everyone coming out tonight. This show went much longer than I expected it to, so I apologize. I was hoping it was going to be just an hour, but I should have known better, right? I will see you all another time. Thank you for listening and watching. In Reason.